Welcome back into the second hour of the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are live on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver and Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365, Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. It's Wednesday night. Can only mean one thing. Always like just a handful of games. Not ever busy on Wednesday. Do you notice that?
Yeah, because we clear one out here in Sportsnet for us. So everyone watches us.
Is that what it is?
Wednesday night hockey, baby.
Which Borny is on tonight.
And I'm not jealous you're on TV tonight.
No.
I'm jealous that you're going to get a nice meal before the show.
Yes, we do. We get a lovely meal. It's steak and sweet potatoes last week.
Complaining.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Not that I'm complaining.
I mucked before the show.
But last week, we did a regional game.
Oh, here we go.
We work here from 4 to 6. We're racing over there to get ready for a pregame.
Oh, my God.
I was kind of hungry. And then...
Let me ask you something. When are you not hungry?
Yeah, that's a good point,
thank
too.
You, thank
that's
you.
That's a good point,
thank
too.
You, thank you.
So... I'm kind of looking around.
Let's get hungry.
And they've got this like amazing like cabinet. And I'm told there's like food in this thing.
Okay. I'm told.
And it's locked.
Okay. Like, he keeps like, rattling like, the like, doors like he's in prison.
Locked.
I don't hammer like, food.
Hey, anybody got the key to this?
There's cheese strings in the fridge.
And there is no key for a regional broadcast.
Which brings us to our conversation with Will Liu before the game, talking about the Raptors media meal. Do you know what the Raptors media meal is?
I think it's the same with the Leafs, too.
Was it no media meal?
No, I think you get like a voucher or something. The last year I went, you're getting like a voucher.
When I was with the Marlies media got like a nice spread, a nice buffet. Oh,
buddy, you know, they're not making that much at MLSE.
And Will's just saying that, you know, especially in the NBA.
Will, for the record, wasn't complaining. We were asking.
No, for sure.
But we were asking and complaining for him.
Yeah, we were saying that is unacceptable.
But when the NBA, Will was saying, when teams like the LA Lakers come in, like they're like everybody's dumbfounded because apparently the LA Lakers serve shrimp the size of Sammy's head, apparently.
Well, when I used to go down to the games for Leafs Nation post game, they would put out, before the game, they'd put out a oven full of pizza.
Yeah.
Pizza, and bud.
Throw the kid a pie.
You boys better see in the schlubs. The lineup for that baby was thick. And they put popcorn out for the minions, and you would eat popcorn, and they'd get I don't know if they don't do that anymore, I guess.
I don't know.
They put ice cream in the cooler for the first intermission. They'd provide.
And for the record, MLSE does a fantastic job in the alumni room.
Yeah.
Okay.
Was that right?
Yeah.
In general.
So don't dump on the MLSE and ruin it for the alumni right now.
The alumni box was really good food. Yeah, I'd like to go back there sometime.
Yeah, the alumni eating Pacific salmon imported from the West Coast.
Meanwhile, the media is mucking a dry slice of sauce.
We're going to ask Kevin Cheveldayoff, general manager of the Winnipeg Jets, in a few minutes.
What the media meal?
What they serve in Winnipeg.
Yeah.
Does anyone care?
Maybe we'll...
It doesn't matter. We're entertaining ourselves. I'll tell you what. Hey, listen, I was a video coach in the AHL. We'd go play in Manitoba. They had a nice media spread out for us. They do a great job there.
Love it.
Maybe, Will, if you said a few nice things about the Raptors...
He does.
...lately.
He's pro-Raptors. He loves Raptors.
Maybe then it's his buddies. Yeah. Yeah. Need to...
what was the best media? The best media story was the Eakins taking away the donuts.
That is really great.
When he put out the carrot sticks and stuff
with the Edmonton Oilers.
Oh, yeah.
Let's welcome in Kevin Cheveldayoff, general manager of the Winnipeg Jets, where they sit very comfortably third in the Central Division. Now, Chevy, did you have to take food away from the media, over the course of your career at all?
Nah, this is the NHL, the Never Hungry League. So you can't take the food away. You know, that's it's a funny story. A friend of mine once told me, they said that you can buy a media guy a order of chicken wings on the road sometime, and you'll forever get some good stories.
You're not wrong.
It'll go a long way. Well, I think. I think the media in the Jets should be eating very well because certainly it's been a good start. Can we consider it still a start at roughly 30 games? Just the overall view, while many, including me, may be surprised, Chevy, like, where is it sitting with you overall with your team?
Well, obviously, we've made lots of changes to the group here over the course of time and over the course of the summer, and we've had lots of different goings on, I think, like any NHL team. But this summer, obviously, at the draft, we made a trade that I think signaled what direction we wanted to try to keep pointing this franchise. And we're very excited about the prospects of getting a Gabe Vilardi and Alex Iafallo and Erasmus Kupari to give us that a little bit more depth and dimension, I guess, to our group. And we were able to sign Helly and Scheife at the beginning of the year, right before training camp. We had an opportunity to extend Nino Niederreiter here just shortly. So it's a good group of guys. Obviously, we've had some tough times here as well. We went through a period of time there where Rick Bowness was away from the team. And, I think it just really helped to show how much all these guys care about each other and care about the coaching staff and the job that, Scott Arneil and Brad Lauer and Marty Johnson did to pick up where, what Bowness was talking about. I think it just speaks volumes to, how close this group really is.
Chevy, when I look at your team, I believe you guys have won 20 straight games giving up three or fewer goals. I don't know if in the past you would have considered yourself defensive stalwarts or whatever, but right now your team just does not give up a pile of goals. To what do you attribute to that too? Is that a team structure thing, goaltending, D? Where do you lay the credit for that?
Well, certainly, again, you have to start with the goaltending. There's no question about it that a player like Connor Hellebuyck, has really established himself as one of the upper echelon goalies. But it is a mindset of Bones. It is a mindset of that we tried to instill when Bones came into the organization, last year. And it takes time, but it's something that again, guys take take pride in, I think. And if you look at our leadership core, Adam Lowry being our captain, Josh Morrissey, Mark Scheifele, they've all really established an identity with how we want to play and the way Bones wants us to play.
We're talking to Kevin Cheveldayoff, general manager of the Winnipeg Jets. Want to talk to you a little bit about Gabe Vilardi in terms of an incredible performance on his return back to LA, and just the overall sense, Chevy, in terms of the appreciation for the trade that you made with Pierre-Luc Dubois, and how hard it is when everybody knows that this player doesn't want to return and you're up against the clock and you're able to make a trade, a significant one, without feeling like you're not delivering the goods. I mean, it's not a great position to be in, and it's worked out incredibly well.
Well, it's there's lots of different things and different circumstances that come into play in the National Hockey League, and sometimes opportunities present themselves, and here this was a good opportunity for us to kind of reshape how our forward group looks, and a guy like Gabe, it was awesome. It was so awesome to see because he went through so much already this year with having a knee injury that kept him out for the better part of 6 or 7 weeks. And, for him to come back and go into LA and have the game that he did, those are the type of things that are special, and the guys really, really felt for him, and it's just awesome to, when a player like that can get rewarded. Again, it just helps the team become even that much closer.
Can I ask, during that process, was there other options for you at the time? Was this crystal clear the avenue for you? Just in terms of, again, how do you pick at the end of it? Was it close with other teams?
Yeah, and I don't want to let out too many secrets.
Well, no. Give us every
secrets. Let's just say I watched Draft Day a couple of times. you do your due diligence and you try to do the best that you can. Obviously, LA was very aggressive and very, upfront in wanting to make it happen. And fortunately it worked out for both sides.
I can't help but think about, the path this team has taken. The end of last year, Bones said some things about the team being disappointed that there wasn't more pushback. He was frustrated. Over the years, they've seen Line A a little frustrated and wanted out. Wheeler, I don't know if he's frustrated at all, but Dubois was maybe frustrated. I want to talk about character in the room and how much you believe that maybe just having guys who want to be there attributes, is part of the reason for success. Or what do you think character, how much it matters in team success?
Well, I think it matters a lot. And I think, going back to last year, at the end of the season, you're emotional. There's lots of emotions. Coaches are emotional too. And you just lost and you're done. You're out of the playoffs. When you sink that much heart and energy and emotion into the season and know that it's come to an end, there is a lot of hard emotion. But I was thankful for that because, that led to obviously lots of hard and poignant and honest conversations with lots of the players. And that's, what it was all about. And I really don't think, that we get to that point of being able to sign, Scheif and Helly without having all those things transpire. Because now, if you look at how our team is built, the very first, the second guy, I guess, that we drafted in our very first year is now the captain of our team. He's gone through our development process. He's grown up, as a Winnipeg Jet, and now he's the captain. Our very first player that we drafted, Mark Scheifele, now signed on for 8 more years. Again, has grown up through our process, and you can keep on going. Josh Morrissey, all these players, Kyle Connor, Nick Ehlers, players that we drafted, players that we developed, players that grew up here. And when I was sitting down with Mark and Connor, at the beginning of the year, and we're talking about the extensions, even before I got into negotiations, with their agents really in on the final stretches of anything, is it was very clear two things. These two players are very driven to want to win the Stanley Cup. And the second thing that was ultimately very clear is they want to do it with this group of guys. And then they really care about each other.
Kevin, you talked about Josh Morrissey just moments ago. There's no question that he is now constantly in conversations amongst the best defensemen in the league, but we do know that there's a few teams out there that need help on the blue line. I mean, can we think that the Winnipeg Jets and you would in particular would be looking to revamp that, not revamp, but build off of that blue line? Or like, where are you on the back end?
Well, I think, obviously, you're always looking to see what's available maybe to improve your team. If you're so lucky to be in that that space of wanting to, fill some holes and your team is certainly something that warrants it. But, again, we'll take a look at how things go over a period of time here and, really haven't identified any areas, yet. We've obviously lost Kyle Connor here for, 6 to 8 weeks and just got Gabe Vilardi back. Rasmus Kupari is now starting to skate. Young player like Ville Heinola, who had a great camp, is just starting to skate again. So there's lots of ebbs and flows that go, throughout. But again, I think a lot of our success isn't about an individual, outside of maybe a Connor Hellebuyck, who obviously plays a very important position. It's about a team and it's about a structure and it's about playing a certain way. So it's not necessarily about going and finding that unicorn, to put you over the proverbial top. It's about finding things that fit, your team structure.
What are your thoughts on the the division right now? You guys are second in points percentage. You're just you're a hair behind Dallas. You're right there with the top teams in the division. What are your thoughts on the West and your division this year? I don't want to say that it's weaker necessarily, but it doesn't seem like there's a juggernaut, like a team that's running away with it all. Does that make you feel more confident, more bold about doing something to get yourself in a position to really try to win that division?
Well, I think that it obviously what it says to me is that any team on any given night, because there is such a closeness in our division, or a conference even, can win. So, it's one of those things where you truly – start looking at the, at the races, early on, because, you want to have consistency. You want to, play with a level of structure, and you have to play a certain way. And that's really what, kind of drives us on a regular basis. It's not necessarily about, we're going to be the top of the division. And that's exciting obviously for every reason. For us, it's one of focusing on structure and consistency.
Chevy, really appreciate your time, man. Thanks for doing this. Hey, by the way, hold on for a second. We know the NHL draft is going to stay traditional for one more year in Vegas. Were you one of the guys that wanted to get rid of it? Is it better for you or a team like Winnipeg to do it remotely?
Actually, we're one of the very few teams that voted to keep it traditional. We for several reasons. One, I think, just the fact of doing things, differently as far as the league. But, at one point in time, we were hopeful to host a draft here, in Winnipeg and stuff like that. So that was kind of our driving force. But, again, there's lots of pros and cons to both sides of it. And there's certainly something to be said to have your, all your staff together. And hey, like I said, I've been watching draft day quite a bit. So, we know all about it.
Now there's a book Doug McLean wrote on the draft. You realize that, right?
Yeah, he's steering clear of that one.
Bestseller, I heard.
Yeah, so everyone's heard.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Chevy, really appreciate your time, man. All the best, okay?
Awesome. I hope everyone has a great holiday season, and thanks for having me on today.
Thanks, Chevy. Appreciate it.
Chevy Dayoff, general manager of the Winnipeg Jets, and doing a terrific job because they are in the mix in the West.
Yeah, they're 1 point out of first, ahead of Colorado by win percentage now. Best goal differential in the division. Pretty good team.
You nailed it there, though, for me with the about how any team that's good in the West, it's like, we got a real chance to go to the final.
Well, that to me is like, that should be the impetus to be like, we should add here.
I know we were talking about earlier in our show about like what Max Domi with the Leafs, Yarncroc. Is it Robertson? Is it somebody else? And then you got their third line technically is Lowry, Mason Appleton, and Nita Ryder.
That's a third line.
That's
heavy.
They're a defensive line juggernaut too.
Yeah,
they play against other teams' best lines. Like that's
like when you're not if you want to take Scheifele off a best on best. Throwing Lowry down there to shut down top centerman?
Yeah.
Oh, great option.
Super effective. You know what the strangest thing is? And I thought about asking Chevy about it, but I know how the answer would go. But just like that Nick Ehlers. Ehlers is such an interesting player to me. You know, he's dynamic. He shoots. He's fast. He's, gets him a couple scraps a year. He plays 16 minutes a night every year.
He's feisty too.
But he barely plays. And it's not like one coach has made that call. It's his whole career. They obviously know. So I don't know. He's the guy I just can't make heads or tails of sometimes.
There's some guys.
Yeah, 23 points already this year playing 16:07 a night.
That's strange.
I really believe that the coaches have this kind of filing cabinet that says, this guy, I'm going to squeeze the most out of him between 14 and 16 minutes. Yeah. If I go 17 or 18, he's no good.
Yeah.
I lose him. There's a major drop off.
That was Willie for a long time.
Well, that's what made me think of it. And why? So we're talking about the Jets and Wednesday night hockey tonight, and I'll talk about Ehlers a little bit. And so I've been, that's exactly it for me. It's Willie was the guy who played 16, 17, And it was always like, I should get more. And all of a sudden he found this next gear and he's playing 19-20. Mm-hmm. And Ehlers hasn't been given that longer leash.
Tavares, same thing. Like, take a
look. Great at 19, don't want him at 21.
17 and 19, you'll never see Sheldon go 21, 22 with him.
Some guys, and I'll say I was this kind of player, if you're playing a ton, will conserve energy, right? Like you'll go for a shift and you'll wait for an opportunity to go on an offensive opportunity. Otherwise, they just don't keep the pedal down. And some guys, you just kind of need to say, you're going to play 16, 17 minutes, go pedal down every shift, and we'll get more out of you than having you kind of coast around like Bourne did in the coast.
I asked Kevin Cheveldayoff about the back end and like Morrissey, Pionk, but not big, not heavy.
Brandon Dillon.
Blue line.
He's a lot of man.
Dillon's fine, but it's not enough to think you're going to go three or four rounds. Mm-hmm. He's got to shop that blue line. Nate Schmidt would be...
Never been a big Nate Schmidt.
Wonderful.
Oh, I love Nate Schmidt.
I do. Never been a huge fan.
Yeah. He would be wonderful if he wasn't making $6 million a year.
So let this be a lesson to parents out there. Listen to every team, what they need. Every single team needs D. D-man.
Right shot.
D.
You have your right shot D who will run into a couple guys. Even if you don't, just be a good right shot D.
Right shot D.
Justin Hall's making nine schmil.
It's the most coveted position in like all of hockey.
That's three sheets all day long.
Three sheets a year just to bank it off the glass and keep guys away from the net for a bit.
Yeah.
You know, there's value, huge value there to teams. And everyone's searching for, can I get Chris Tanev? Can you give me Sean Walker? What else you got?
You know.
Jacob Middleton?
He's left.
God. It's so far removed, but like Dustin Byfuglien.
Oh my God. My favorite hockey players of all time.
Oh God, was he fun to watch.
You know, guy's career highlight pack, like if you can pull a minute together. Like his mixtape is
as good as it gets.
As good as anyone's for a defenseman.
Byfuglien back on that blue line.
Was it Byfuglien?
Where is Byfuglien?
Oh, he's
fishing.
Yeah, he's ice fishing in northern Minnesota.
Fishing.
He's living in semi-seclusion in northern Quebec.
What a man. What's that?
That's from Slapshot.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's like, oh my God, that rings. Andre the Poodle Lassard. He's been living in semi-seclusion in northern Quebec.
I wonder.
Well, I got to watch that over the holidays. What a movie.
You know, this is just me speculating now, but the turmoil that room had, I don't think can ever be overstated.
Oh, yeah.
A few years ago.
Think so?
And my bet is that it played into Byfuglien shutting it down.
Just not wanting to do it.
It was
not contentious there for a few years.
It was
the
no fun league for him.
Yeah.
Are we gonna get some like post career 30 for 30 on like that's like is it Wheeler? Are we talking about Wheeler? Are we talking about Scheifele? Talking about
Byfuglien would be one of the more fascinating guys to me.
No,
to
I sit don't down think, and talk. I don't think there's. Listen, I don't think I don't think there's any like huge story for a documentary on the Winnipeg Jets.
It's just
guys are mean to each other.
It was guys kind of fighting for their space. It was kind of guys sucking oxygen out of the room, and I told you I love an alpha dog, but. I'm not sure they knew who their alpha dog was a few years ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just going back to Byfuglien mixtape, there's a hit that
he... I know the one. Is it Mark Stone?
On Mark Stone? That may be the hardest hit in NHL history.
It's literally like a crash test dummy running into a brick wall. Yeah. He is skating fast, and then his movement
stops.
Yes.
And
who
were the two guys that he was fighting at the same time?
Well, the best part is he did it twice in his career. I think it was against Vegas.
Where he was like
pulled
throwing
two guys out of the net, just like you two meatheads.
That was... Like a scene out of like the Three Stooges where he just clanks them together.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of Byfuglien.
So good offensively.
Really good.
Such
but
a
wasn't
good
he
player.
A forward when he started?
Yes.
With the Blackhawks,
dude,
right?
He was Brent Burns.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, he played forward. Then
whatever you want.
To me,
he was a hockey
Ohtani.
Player.
You need me to pitch? You need me to hit? What do you need?
Yeah.
What do you want me to
love
do?
That.
We've gone a week and a half without mentioning that guy's name. Really appreciate it.
Shohei Byfuglien.
No, but. Like to be able to play two separate positions in the NHL, you're just an unbelievable hockey player.
And at one point, he was one of the 10 best D in the NHL.
Yeah, he was amazing.
He was his career high is high.
Yeah, he was the man. Wish he still played. And now he loves life, probably.
Yeah, he's doing great.
Fishing.
Made lots of money.
Oh, yeah.
Hunting fish, living in Minnesota.
Got a cup.
Yeah.
Got the respect of us.
Yeah. What else do you need?
That's all that matters.
What else do you need?
All right, so game time, more. Boys.
Yes.
Let her rip.
All right, it's game.
Sammy.
It's game time. Whoa. Was there just a drop there?
Yeah.
Okay. Not. It really caught me off guard because I said it the exact same time as me.
Anyways, like stereo.
I spook like a horse. I need blinders. It's game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for the latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. And not a ton of games tonight, as you know. We were talking about earlier. Looking at the game that you're doing tonight, Red Wings, me talking about how they might be good. Maybe they might not be good.
Yeah.
Starting to trend to not Goodsville for me. But, you know, I don't mind them as a plus 130 underdog. They do have some skill. I know the Jets just lost on home ice. They just lost on home ice to the Habs, right? So yes, they're probably not thrilled about that. I would imagine they're a really good team and imagine they wouldn't have two back-to-back bad ones at home. So all those reasons and more is probably why the Red Wings are plus 130. But I don't think the Red Wings suck that bad, so I like the shot as plus 130.
Okay. Boys, like... Who's their goalie?
Husso hurt himself on Monday. Mm-hmm. Lyon hurt himself on Sunday. So they have James Reimer backed up by Michael Hutchinson tonight.
Hutch is back.
Hutch is in the lead.
Oh, my God.
Every year he gets his cup of coffee.
He always comes back.
Yeah, that's it's hard to keep yourself in the mix.
Yeah, it's impressive.
When you're
down
to that.
Yeah.
No, and then,
I know what you mean, yeah.
And sorry, just go back to the other one. The other thing is, do the LA Kings and Seattle Kraken play every night? Just feels like every time I look at the schedule, it's like those teams playing every night. Love the Kings, hate the Squids. So this is a pure love one team, hate the other team. Give me the Kings by a goal and a half on home ice at plus 145 tonight because I think they're a way better team.
Yep.
And I think they're probably running up on the Squids. Don't have a lean in Caps, Isles. To me, that is a completely unpredictable event. Mm-hmm. Anything could happen in that game. But your Isles are starting to get hot, so maybe we'll talk about that a little bit in news and notes.
Yes.
And that's what I have today. So that was Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for the latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Beautifully done.
Thank you, sir.
We're going to get into news and notes. You want to get one in before break, or you want to save them all for after the break?
Save them.
Save them.
Save them. It's unanimous.
That's a later problem.
Did I ever give you my New York Ranger unanimous story?
No, but might as well fit it in here.
Okay, all right, quickly.
Yeah, we got that.
So Keenan always kind of, when he had a question on who he was going to start in net, he'd go to Coley Campbell and Dick Todd to get their feedback. But, you know, they also were scared to say which one went first because it would influence the third guy. It's like, if you guys went, you know, two on Richter, I'm not going Healy and look like an idiot.
Yeah.
So Keenan had them write down the names, right?
Yeah.
And then throw them in the middle of the table, and then we all open them up, and we'll see who we wrote down.
Okay.
So first one went Healy. Yeah. The second one went Healy. And the third one went Healy.
Richter.
And Keenan goes, that's unanimous. We're going with Richter.
I like that. Thanks for your 2 cents.
Thanks for your 2 cents.
Yeah.
So there you go on news and notes after the break on Real Kipper and Bourne.
Breaking down the top stories in hockey and Elliot Friedman every day. The Jeff Merrick Show. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it's news and notes from the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. Can we straighten out this Nolan Patrick retiring, not retiring story? Sammy, we thought he retired, but he didn't. What's going on?
I don't know.
First pick overall.
I have to be honest with you. I saw it on Twitter and everybody was commenting on it. And I was like, oh, you retired. So you just take that at face value, which you absolutely should not do.
It's unfortunately been a real tough run for him since being picked first overall in the National Hockey League by the Philadelphia Flyers.
I could not feel for him anymore. You know, some concussions, some other injury issues, and it's just you don't get the chance to develop. You don't get a fair shot. It's brutal, man. It's a tough game, and some it does worse by some people than others. And, yeah, a lot of sympathy for us.
And Friedge reached out to him. He tweeted that he reached out to Patrick today. He politely declined to talk, but he did text to say he is not officially retired. It's clear he prefers to stay under the radar. So,
yeah,
I think it would probably be pretty tough to see that everyone just is like would assume that you would retire and that everyone just goes with it. That's probably pretty tough.
This isn't, he's not Patrice Bergeron, sorry. He's Nolan Patrick at age 25. There's no reason for him to
announce or officially announce.
Yeah, it's true. Why would he even?
There's like, you don't do that. Yeah. There could be contract implications, insurance implications, and who knows if he wants to try it again. He's, like I said, he's 25 years old. In a year and a half, 2 years, who knows?
Yeah. The only thing is, like, let's say he just decided that, like, he just values his, he doesn't want to put himself at risk anymore, and he's sick of answering questions, and he's just ready to move on. In that case, you might say, hey, I'm out. Leave me alone. But he's not made that statement, so we will give him his space and distance till he's ready to make some decisions.
You sign a PTO somewhere, you catch on, turn it into another contract.
I hope he becomes a coach or a manager or whatever it is he wants to do.
But not retired.
What is his, a member of Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
What's his contract situation? Does he have just this year left on his deal?
I'm looking right now.
No.
Last year was the last year. I can see here.
Yeah, he has no contract this year.
Correct. Okay. All right. Yeah. Nobody really officially retires anymore. Only just like the greats.
Yeah. Eventually you just stop getting contracts. That's kind of it. But yeah, I mean, he played 25 games last year, 2 goals and 7 assists with Vegas. That is the last he's played.
All right, last night, the Edmonton Oilers and the New York Islanders, and just when we were ready to write off the New York Islanders, JB, like me, okay, but you, how could you have bailed on them?
Did I bail? Yeah, I bailed.
You bailed.
Oh, you bailed.
And
I mean,
it was looking good for the Edmonton Oilers. They get that early goal in a minute and 23 seconds from Draisaitl, and they had ample opportunity to make it 2-0. But you let a team hang around.
Here's why I bailed. I mean, the Isles have been built on defensive structure, playing D, getting great goaltending, just mucking it up and hanging around games, and their D is no good. I did not foresee the Islanders becoming an absolute offensive juggernaut, and they now pour a ton of pucks in the net. The past 20 games, they're one of the top-scoring teams in the NHL. I mean, Horvat and Barzal are suddenly as hot a duo as you can find in the league. Simon Holmstrom has 5 shorthanded goals. We're talking about
five.
Bertuzzi this year, we're saying, and the Leafs hour. Like, yeah, he's only got 5 goals. This kid has 5 shorties. Wow. This year for the Leafs. So they have a lot going for them on the offensive side of things that I didn't see coming. Noah Dobson,
Horvat's playing really well.
There's a guy that tweets us every week or so. Who is it? He's always pissed. He's like, oh, yeah, maybe Noah Dobson should have been over Geno Malkin in the top one. And we're like, okay, buddy, we get it.
He's right. Dobson's so good.
Yeah. Coming off 8 wins in a row, the Edmonton Oilers have now lost 3 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Is it 3 or 2? 3?
I don't know.
They've had 4 streaks this year. They lost a bunch, won a few, lost a bunch.
Sammy?
What's that? So they've lost 3 in a row.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, my bad. Sorry.
Yeah. So here you are coming off of an incredible run, and does 3 in a row kind of give a lot of it back?
But this is the thing with starting as badly as they did, is that their margin for error was just so slim. So, yeah, you lose a few games and suddenly you look and it's like, oh, they're 13-15-1 with a -2 goal differential. But the West is so bad, Kip. Like 13-15-1, they're 4 points or less out of a wild card spot with games in hand. Like, here's what I will say. They're not that good. You know, like they're going to make playoffs. Oh, yeah. They're going to be, they have great players, but they're goaltending.
I can't recall covering an NHL season when we've looked at a dozen teams and go, yeah, they're good. And then go, oh, no, they're no good.
Change my mind. Your whole column every week, change my mind, should just be a new team that we flipped on.
Are they good? I don't know.
Yeah. No, they're no good. Yeah. They're good. They're no good. Tampa.
The Flames
Edmonton,
selling the farm
the Leafs.
2 weeks ago. They're ahead of the Oilers.
Well, I mean, we do talk every day. It's kind of our job to react to what's happening in those few days.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
If every show were a zoom out big picture, it'd be a boring program.
But no, you're right with the Oilers, though. The hole is massive. Mm-hmm. And like any, like if they lose to four or five in a row here, gets scary. So they got to get streaking again.
Yeah.
Another team that we've gone from good to no good.
Okay.
Ottawa Senators.
No, they were.
They blow
bad.
A 3-goal lead. But Sam, once upon a time, not only did a lot of people have this team making the playoffs, they had them maybe getting to a Final Four.
My prediction for them this year was they were going to make the 8 seed, and the Leafs were going to make the 1 seed, and they were going to play them in the first round of the playoffs. Doesn't look like it's going to happen.
I mean, I've defended the Oilers when they were on their skid, and I've been going to bat for Ottawa. Ottawa is getting much harder to continue to go to bat for. You know, they're up 3-0 in Arizona last night and losing regulation.
Yeah.
Their goaltending is not helping them out. You know, Tkachuk fights again.
No,
can
no,
Brady Tkachuk fight every night?
Like, they need saves. Everybody needs saves.
Yeah, you know where they're atrocious? Their penalty kill, their goal, their save percentage on the penalty kill is worst in the NHL. So, like, they just can't get a save when they're shorthanded. Overall, their goaltending's really let them down. But I think part of that is their D's just
Where's
not
their stars,
great.
Though? Stützle, Norris. Batherson was supposed to have a career year.
Yeah, you're waiting for these guys to take that step, right? It's all a lot
Brady
of hope
Tkachuk
and promise.
Now is just fighting now. He's just a...
Guess how many goals Jimmy Stu has, Tim Stützle, on the season? He has 30 points in 27 games. How many are goals?
6.
I was going to say 5 because 5 seems to be the magic number.
6 goals. You know, that's not... 30 points is good. You're happy to see that, but certainly...
And there's some nights early in the season when you watch him dancing around and whacking pucks out of the air where you're like...
I love watching
he's
him.
He's so close to being
one
a
of the elite
star.
Of the league. Yeah, I love watching him.
And so I went back and watched, I was going to say Jacques Lemaire, but not Jacques Lemaire, Jacques Martin.
Jacques Martin.
I went and watched him, and it's just... He's like, why did you do this? You know, I listen to him talk. He's like, oh, it's going to be it's not going to happen overnight.
Like, it's supposed to.
This is the reason you fire a coach with this kind of team is so it does happen overnight. That's the whole point.
Yeah, you don't start a rebuild again here. This
no,
is everyone's
like,
trying
God.
To move forward. I just can't beat this drum enough. I hate when you're ready to even close to start winning, it just needs to be the mindset right away. Like, competing and trying to win every night. The Buffalo Sabres are guilty of this. Of being a team that, oh, well, the rebuild takes time and process. They draft all these good players. Can you trade for a few guys and try to win tomorrow night?
Yeah, can we have some veterans that
yeah,
have
like
played?
Help these kids yeah. out. Like, maybe let's try to get competitive tonight.
Buffalo Sabres losers last night, 9-4 to Columbus Blue Jackets. And
he told us Columbus could score.
They can score.
Their head coach is Granato there, and you're watching teams fire their coach. I mean, he's got to feel a little nervous. Would you think that that's the difference maker for them now to get them back in a...
Have the Pegulas given up on their just a Bills ownership base now? Have they given up on the Sabres? They want to spend money on a new coach there?
Bills are the hottest team in the NFL. I mean, I know what games they're watching.
It kind of feels like, I don't know how much attention that you've gotten from the Pegulas.
Doesn't seem like as much.
And I think Granato probably wants to keep it that way.
God, the Sabres are spinning their wheels, man. Like, attendance isn't great in Buffalo. You know, when you don't win forever, that tends to happen. Great fan base. I love Buffalo fans. I want the Sabres to be good. But they're spinning their wheels here, and I would like to see them do some stuff, like, not just
and there are like I like watching Alex Tuck.
Buddy, I like so many players on that team.
And we know we've nicknamed
Darlene's amazing.
Tage Super Mario Tage with his Lemieux. Ability to have the wingspan of like 20 feet.
My Cousins isn't scoring, but he's a pretty good all around player.
I just don't.
Power has not defended great, but he's a good player too, like Rasmus.
It just feels like they're all so young.
Mm.
And they all have to take this like collective step together.
Yes.
And it didn't happen yet. Right? And it's just like, if you're a Sabres fan, has it been 3 straight years that they're like, this is the year you take the step? And it's like, nope, you're still stepping in the crap here.
You're waiting for the goaltending to
and
come
Levi's,
around. And,
you know, he's a kid.
Leafs play
tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night in Buffalo.
Boy,
we'll be covering that game regionally, which means I'll get I won't find the key to the.
Here we go.
The cupboard with all
snack
the
lockers.
Snack locker.
People listen to the show. You're going to get in trouble for this.
He's going to, he's going to bring a skill saw to the lock.
You're going
to
get in trouble. Your phone's going to be blowing up after the phone.
It's just one an energy bar. That's all. It's just an energy bar.
The Buffalo Sabres give up the third most high danger chances in the NHL this year.
Well,
the Leafs.
9-4.
Create. About the most high danger chance.
Oh, so.
They get a lot. So, I expect old Devin Levi or whoever's in that to be busy.
What you're saying is for all the Leaf fans that are heading down there tomorrow night, they're in for a fun one. Because it's going to be 80% Leaf fans. Right before the holidays, you know, heading down to Buffalo, maybe get some last minute shopping, head to Lenovo for some wings.
It's a great time to go to
a I wish I was going.
But if you're Leaf fans, you wish that they wouldn't have lost 9-4.
You're right.
The night before.
There is going to be some attention to detail
because
they have the national spotlight
right now.
Yeah, they stink,
but I don't think it's an easy...
But they have talent. They're a talented
team. It's just one of those games where, like, Sammy, Leafs lose tomorrow night to Buffalo, you're really ticked off.
I don't get really that ticked off about any regular season thing anymore.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, I would... I think the Leafs lay the eggs way more on home ice against bad teams than they do...
granular on their stinks.
Well, I know this team. I got a master's in this team.
Give me the goal differential. Who's got a worse goal differential than Buffalo in the Eastern Conference? There's 16 teams. Who would be below them?
Columbus.
Wrong. There's no one. I'll save your time.
Last.
They have the worst goal differential in the Eastern Conference.
Ouchie, wow, wow.
Again, I get they're really excited about Levi, Devin Levi.
Yep.
But sticking him in and thinking that he can grasp this to make the Buffalo Sabres a potential playoff team now was just not the right ask.
You think you should have brought him along a little more slowly?
It's too hard. It's just too hard to get.
What's the last time a rookie goalie really contributed? I understand Joseph Woll's playing very well.
Oh, I don't know.
Too small of a sample size.
2 weeks ago?
That's what I mean.
In our very city?
Yeah, no, right? I don't mean for a game. I mean,
listen,
where's the last rookie goalie, Aiden Hill? Does that count as a young guy who went on a run?
It just doesn't.
Carter Hart.
But Aiden Hill was like 27.
Carter Hart didn't light the world on fire, and he was considered the next Patrick or Carey Price.
It just doesn't happen.
It's very uncommon for a guy to come in, be named the starter as a rookie, 21, 2, whatever, and be the guy for the year.
All right, Taves, you're telling me he called out his team.
Devin.
Yeah, we have a clip, I think.
What?
Devon? Devon Taves?
Devin Taves. Devon Taves?
Devon.
Devon?
Devon.
White.
Probably a lock for Team Canada next time, best on best, I would imagine.
He has become a great player.
Yeah. Derek, we could play the clip of him there.
I mean, it's self-awareness. We need guys that know how to play in our system, how to play our game, and know what it takes. And we have guys in here. I think we got some guys that think they're playing well, and I think they're kidding themselves at this point. It's frustrating to play with, play out there when you got guys that think they're playing well and they're doing things that, you know, you have no idea what play they're going to make or where they're going to be on the ice. And it's tough to play in this league when you don't know where your teammates are going to be. So, that's where a lot of the frustration stems from.
Ugh.
Whoa.
Yeah, that was pretty strong.
That's maybe as strong a criticism you've heard from an NHL player of his own players in the dressing room.
Okay, I'm drawing a blank. Who called out a teammate's dad?
Rantanen called out Lehkonen's dad.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Another Avs interroom.
Well, trouble in paradise over there. What's going on?
Listen, I like Taves a lot, and he is a Stanley Cup champion, and he is one of the leaders there.
His team's 19-11-2.
I think if he can look them in the eye, and I would. The only thing I would hope is he's already had this conversation behind closed doors, yeah. And he's not scared to double down by sending it out through the media.
You're right. If he has not had this conversation in person with his teammates, then it's a little bit of a, what are you doing, man? Like, yeah. Let's have this chat here amongst us. And if he's very frustrated because it hasn't been happening, you know, you don't want to speculate on who. Well, I do want to be honest. But
we shouldn't.
You know, but like, you know, you look around that room, he's talking about guys not being where they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
If they think they're playing well, they're kidding themselves. Like, that's some competitive stuff. Don't know who it would be, but I imagine they know who they are.
And he has one of the most intense leaders in the league in Nate MacKinnon.
Sounds like Taves matches that competitiveness.
I'm telling you, Nate doesn't let that team sleep relaxed. They got to be thinking, sleeping, and breathing, winning. That's Nate.
Yeah,
and that's like the Nate dog.
And they're 19-4. They're 40 points. They're tied for first in the Central, and they're still leaning on each other this much. It would be curious to know how things are in that room. And you talk about alpha dogs and grabbing guys by the collar.
This is a big sign of that.
It seems like it's happening in Colorado where they're saying, we don't like where some of you are going. I'm curious to know if Joe Sakic, or who's the GM there now, even though it's Joe Sakic running the team, another guy.
McFarlane.
Sure. Sounds right. You know, if these leaders on the team can't get these guys to be where they're supposed to be, I'm curious to see if a winning team like Colorado makes changes at some point and says, yeah, we made a couple trades because we couldn't get the guys on our page.
You know what? Just crush them. Landeskog.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Losing him.
Crush anyone.
He's a stud.
Like, oh.
Really, like, winner, score,
yes.
Fight, do whatever you need him to do.
Yeah. He's gonna
playoff built type of guy.
Yeah.
That one hurt for sure. All right, what else you got, Sammy? Marc-Andre Fleury?
Yeah, 549th win. It's too shy of tying Patrick Roy for second most all-time in the history of NHL. That's pretty surprising
to me. That's like a really big number.
Martin Brodeur, number one, and Fleury is going to end up number two, very likely, shortly.
That matches up?
Yeah. Couple of good French-Canadian goalers.
No, but like, you know, he's had an awesome career.
If you put Patrick Roy ahead of Fleury on the Rushmore.
Well, of course.
Yes.
But like, Marc-Andre Fleury isn't, you know, on the mountain beside Mount Rushmore for me.
So,
No?
Mount Rushmore.
And it's old wounds. But like, you know, the junior hockey stuff back from double World Juniors where he shot it in off his own guy, off the... Patrick O'Sullivan.
Hunted away a couple playoff series for Pittsburgh.
He had moments where he was very bad.
Yeah.
So, Sammy, you asked me at the beginning of the show why I'm a little dressed up.
Oh, yeah.
My father, George Kiprios, is turning 90 today.
Wow.
Oh, my God. They named him the assistant coach of the Senators?
Yes. Oh, there he is.
Look at that. George.
There he is right there. This was almost 30 years ago, guys. They were on the float with me at the Stanley Cup parade, and he still talks about this as if it happened yesterday.
Love that.
That's happy incredible.
Birthday,
Dad.
Happy birthday,
where are you going for dinner?
George.
Oh, we're going for a nice steak.
Attaboy.
Yeah, nice steak in Markham.
Well, enjoy. Hope it's a wonderful birthday. Yeah. Look, you got Jason Spezza over there with you in that picture.
Look like Jason Spezza.
Look at my mom's glasses. She looks like
too?
She's... She looks like a cop.
Nice video, nice video camera.
She should be in Chicago Hope.
I'd like to see that, whatever video is on that
Chicago
camera.
Chicago PD. That's the one I'm talking about.
I don't know.
All right. Happy birthday, Dad. We'll see you soon. Thanks for joining us on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We're back tomorrow.